Much worship team, bringing such a great set in the very last day of 2018. I can't believe it's the year's almost over, and we got to look forward already to next year, right? And some of you are already thinking, okay, what do you want to achieve next year? Some of you are goals, you know, goals driven. Some of you just aren't. You're just going to let it happen. But no matter what you're hoping for next year, I can almost assure you that probably every one of us here wants something good next year, right? We all want that, right? And we all pursue the good life. But what we mean by the phrase the good life isn't always very clear, and it differs for each person here. You know, some people put a premium on looking good. You know, looking good is serious business in North America here. Expensive clothes, fancy hairstyles, tanning booths, tattoos, body sculpting. I don't know if you know what body sculpting is. It's where you pay a lot of money to freeze the fat off. I don't know who would pay a lot of money to freeze their fat off when in Calgary you can go outside in the winter and freeze your butt off for free. Anyway, I worked hard on that line. You know, the problem with looking good is there's no universal standard. And, you know, it means different things to different people. And the older that you get, friends, I want to tell you, the harder it is to keep those youthful good looks. And Proverbs is very true. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. So you can put your good life there if you want. There was a Hutterite who went into the mall for the very first time. And he saw an old woman walk into an elevator. And about a minute later, the doors opened again, and out walked a really hot-looking young lady. And he turns to his son, and he goes, "Quick, get your mother!" I don't know how it works, but get your mother. Some people think the good life means feeling good. You know, whatever it takes, they got to feel good. Now, that might mean sitting in a hot tub or going on a dream vacation to sunny locations or taking drugs, and that includes every form of alcohol. You know, the standard phrase of people in this group is, if it feels good, do it. And 2018, we all remember back in October, recreational marijuana was legalized. See, medical marijuana has been legal since the year 2000. And so in 2018, Canada became, I think, the second country in the world to legalize recreational marijuana. And you need to understand what that means. To feel good. Still others think the good life means having goods. Right? They set about acquiring possessions, and they think that if they get enough goodies, they'll have a good life. And they live by the motto, the one with the most toys wins. Right? Their object in life is to make money and spend it on great stuff. It's kind of an older story. There was a rich guy. He had an expensive car. And one day he went to go drive his expensive car real fast, and it kind of got a little too fast, and he ended up having a bit of an accident. And the paramedics were called, 911 was called, and when they came, and there he was moaning over the loss of his BMW. "Oh, my Beamer, my Beamer." And the paramedic looked and he goes, "Oh my goodness, you've lost your left arm." And he goes, "My Rolex, my Rolex." All right, well, I did want us to have a couple of laughs. As we close out our year, the Bible presents a radically different picture of the good life. The good life in God's Word, it isn't based on looking good or feeling good or having all the goods. The good life is filled with goodness, being good and doing good. In fact, the Bible uses the word good and goodness over 600 times. But what exactly is goodness? In Genesis chapter 1, we read that when God created the world, he looked at everything he created and he said, "That's good. That's good." Now why? Because it fulfilled the purpose for which it was created. Goodness means fulfilling God's purpose. It's being what God meant for you to be and doing what God meant for you to do. And if we look at what goodness really is, we'll find that goodness is inseparable from godliness. Evil is godlessness. Now, this is the sixth message in a series of messages on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we've already looked at faithfulness, love, joy, and peace. Right? We remember, and if you missed any of these messages, you can always go online. It's southgatealliance.net. Good. And click on messages. Good. All right. Very good. So we looked at how to be faithful as God is faithful. Right? And God is love, so we should love one another. And we can rejoice because God is our source of joy. And we can have peace with God and the peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That was last week. And today, our focus is on goodness. God wants us to have the character quality of goodness in our life and to do good works. Now, here's the question. Why should we be good or do good? To be a do-gooder? No. First of all, because God is good. When we align our being and our actions with the character of the Almighty God, we fulfill our purpose in life. And so here's my thesis today. Being good and doing good as God is good leads to the good life in this world and in the life to come. All right, in our scripture text, it actually was from a prayer meeting about, I don't know, maybe 3 months ago that my wife Linda led. And I went, that's when I started to write this message. I didn't have a lot of time this past week, but I started about 3 months ago. And here's the passage that I think I just want to turn your attention to. It's fantastic. It's buried in a book of Jeremiah that, you know, few of us get through, right? They will be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me for their own good and the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. And I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. I think the first thing we can bring out of this passage is that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Goodness is a core character of God. He is morally good. God is not evil. And as moral agents created by God and in the image of God, we know the difference between good and evil, between right and wrong. And as I pondered this past week, the nature of God's goodness, I believe it has to do with moral perfection, excellence, and incorruptibility. Now, let me try and explain one thing here. In J.R. Tolkien's book, The Lord of the Rings, I'm getting a little love down here from Charmaine because I know you like that. Saruman is a good wizard, but he becomes corrupted by evil. And he's a type of what we know about power. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now, when people want to become like God, they usually want his power, but not his goodness. Have you noticed that? Not his love and humility. Satan, the epitome of evil, was a powerful angel who was corrupted to challenge God. But the God of the universe, who has all power and all knowledge, is not morally corrupted by it. He's totally good. He gives human beings free will instead of demanding worship. God humbles himself to become a man in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And we've just come through our Christmas season. Jesus limits his power. God's goodness is seen as incorruptible, absolute power that gives itself away. That's ultimate goodness. And that's why Jesus said, only God is good. Psalm 145 verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all, He has compassion on all he's made. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, Jesus said in Matthew 5. Those are ways in which God gives good gifts to all people. And James tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from our Heavenly Father. And what we need to do is just taste and see that the Lord is good. Every good gift, every tasty food that you've had yesterday at the, both here at the church and at the reception, it's an example of God's goodness. Especially chocolate. Can I get an amen from some of the ladies this morning? And we want to give God glory for his goodness. And that's why I want to invite you to share some testimonies today. Because that's one of the ways that we can respond to the goodness of God, is simply thanking him and praising him for his goodness. God rejoices in doing good to his people. I love that verse. I will never stop doing good to them. I will rejoice in doing them good. Friends, we've got to get rid of some baggage here. God doesn't rejoice in disciplining his people. God desires prosperity for his people, not famine, sword, and plague. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, and he prophesied correctly about what was going to happen to Jerusalem and the people of Israel that were still left in Judea. But instead of good things happening to Jeremiah, the king threw him in a well. He wasn't preaching enough positivity in his messages, and he was basically left to die. But through the tragic story, there's a message of hope. And in chapter 29, Jeremiah prophesies that there will be 70 years of exile. So the people better get used to it. They better build houses. They better get married like Elijah and Terry did. Plant gardens. Seek the prosperity and the peace of the city to which God sent them. And if the city to where God sent them would prosper, God's people would prosper. First of all, I think we need to get rid of a picture of God that only wants bad for us. We got to just trash that. And we need to hear what Scripture says. I will rejoice in doing them good. And I believe God wants us to seek the good of the city of Calgary. And we need to pray for our civic leaders and administrators and do things that make our city and our communities better. And we partner with Shawnee Evergreen Community Association. And a part of what God calls this church to do is to seek the good of the city. And Jeremiah's message of hope went even further. He says in 29:11-13, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And it's a powerful verse because it reveals the good heart of God. God wants something good for your life and mine. God rejoices in doing good to us. Are you hearing me this morning? God loves to shower us with good things as long as those good gifts don't steal our heart and our affection away from him. Because if it does, then we have a problem. Okay, so a second point that maybe doesn't come directly out of Jeremiah, but is easily found throughout Scripture is that we're not good. God is good, but we're not. See, in Canada, we often tell our kids, if you've had children, I know you've said this probably 1,000 times. Okay, be a good girl, right? Be a good boy. And there's a problem because we're not naturally good. And the Bible actually never says, be good. The Bible says, do good. But we're not good. None of us are. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Only God is naturally good. And if we look at our history, we've got a long history of wars and violence on earth to one another. No matter how educated we've become, we still have the root problem within us. We selfishly seek our own way. And if you've had children, you know this to be true. Nobody teaches a child to be selfish. They figure it out all on their own. Me! Mine! It comes naturally. And though I've been a Christ follower for decades, I can see this struggle within myself too. I don't naturally do the selfless thing, right? Do you struggle to do good? Do any of you struggle to obey the speed limit all the time? Get honest. Do any of you struggle to be the first one to offer to do chores at home? Oh, I'd like to clean the bathroom. No, I know you struggle. And Jeremiah 13 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. Friends, it takes more than willpower to change your nature. Even the Apostle Paul found this to be true. Right? This is the holy guy, the guy who wrote part of Scripture. And the things he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, who will save me? This wretched man that I am. He called himself the chief of sinners. So how can God expect us to do good if we're not good at the core? The only way that we can do anything good and achieve God's purposes for our life is to become a new creation by the Spirit of God. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Only in Christ can we do the good that God wants us to do. And anything good that we do is because we're either in the image of Christ, made in the image, or because we've been remade and to be remade in as a new creation. Well, let me say one more thing that I think comes out of this passage in Jeremiah, and that is that God is good even when we experience discipline. Even when Israel, God's people, went into exile, God was still good. God disciplined his people. God was faithful to his promises of sending difficulty into the lives of his people. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, sounds kind of mean on God's part, right? But his ultimate goal was to bring his people back to himself, the greatest good. Hebrews 12:10 says that the Lord disciplines those he loves. God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. When God disciplined his people by sending them into exile, he still had a good purpose in mind through that experience. And Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." God wants us to draw close to him. Do you know the story of Joseph, the book of Genesis? He begins his life as the favorite son of his father, but his older brothers are all jealous of him and they sell him into slavery. And Joseph tries to do good, but bad things keep happening to him. He gets thrown into prison and basically gets forgotten. But one day, the Pharaoh of Egypt needs his gifts of interpretation, wisdom, and administration. Joseph gets promoted to second highest authority in the whole country. And Joseph saves his family from hunger, and he comes to a place where he sees God's purpose in it all. Genesis 50, verse 20 is underlined in my Bible. "You intended to harm me," he talks to his brothers, "but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Friends, that's the nature of God. He causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God can even bring good out of difficult circumstances. Have you come to the place where even in your darkest hour, you've seen the good hand of God? I pray if you haven't that you will. And if you have, I'd like you to share your story. We're going to do that in a few minutes here. Let me bring one more thing out of this passage, and that is that our relationship with God is our greatest good. If you want to experience the good life in 2019, and I know that you do, you need a personal experience with our good God. Always fearing or reverencing God is for your own good and the good of your descendants. You need to cultivate your spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ if you want to experience maximum good life in 2019. And Hebrews 10 kind of gives us a bit of encouragement. It says, "Consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another, and all the more as you see the great day drawing near." We need corporate worship. We need home groups. We need accountability partners. Other people can positively impact your spiritual passion levels. Now, it's true that other people can negatively impact your passion level. Like if you hang out with others that are fashionistas, you'll think that looking good is your main purpose in life. And if you hang out with other pleasure seekers, you'll feel absolutely normal when you seek pleasure as a main goal in your life. And if you hang out with other materially minded people, it'll just be normal for you to get jazzed by bigger salaries and more stuff. So here's a question. Are you a spiritual thermometer or a thermostat? A thermometer simply reflects the spiritual temperature in a room. It just gives a readout. A thermostat sets the temperature. And we need more passionate leaders, more thermostats who aren't satisfied with the status quo and will rise up and say that God is our greatest good and let's pursue Him together. And let's pray together and let's study the Bible together and let's serve others together. Because you know what, friends? On my own, I'm tempted to do my own thing and please myself. But in corporate worship or in a home group or with a good friend, a spiritually minded thermostatic friend, we can remind each other and encourage each other to pursue God, the highest good in our life. When Jesus sent out his disciples on mission, did he send them out on their own? One by one? No. He sent them out two by two, like the animals into the ark, right? Why? To encourage each other. If one falls down, the other can pick the fallen one up. If one gives in to temptation, the other ought to restore gently the one that's fallen. The one another's are all through the New Testament. Love one another, serve one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, forgive one another. Friends, you don't find soldiers going to battle on their own against enemy forces. They go in groups called companies or platoons or battalions. And why do so many Christians think you can just battle on your own? It's not going to happen. And so we need each other. And we need to encourage each other to pursue God, our greatest good. Because there are good works that God has created us to do. And this is my last point. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's got a plan for your life in 2019. You say, I don't even know what I'm going to do in 2019. I go, no, I know you don't, but God does. And part of what God wants for your life is to do good work. And the Christian lifestyle is to be a lifestyle of goodness. There's some things that only you can do that God's prepared in advance for you to do. It's in your sphere of influence. You've got a unique family. You've got unique neighbors. No two people have the same oikos or arena of influence. God put you there for a reason, to do good to others. And we aren't saved by good works. We're saved for good works. And Titus 3:14 says, our people, God's people, must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. A part of the good that God calls you to do is good work. And we started 2018, I don't know if you remember, with a whole series on work. And one of the ways that you do good in this world is by doing your work well. And I'm kind of thinking about doing another series on work in 2019 because the Bible has so much to say about it. It's one of the purposes in your life. But it's not the only one. God's purpose is more than that. God's purpose is for us to care about the poor and the hungry and the prisoner and the immigrant and the widow and the orphan. And that's pure and undefiled religion. Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. As followers of Jesus, that's what we're supposed to do. To do good, to heal the sick, to free those oppressed by Satan. And when we do what Jesus asks us to do, when we do what he did, God will be with us. We just need to keep leaning in to doing all the good that we can do. And not to be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good, Romans says. Good overcomes evil. And Gandhi and Martin Luther King were world changers who used the principle of nonviolent resistance. They were overcomers, but they fought, they resisted in God's way with goodness and courage and perseverance. And we can demonstrate God's goodness by praying for people, for good people that we love, and for enemies that we hate. We can pray God's blessing on them all. Love your enemies, Jesus says. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Before we enter a war, we need to ask God's help in the heavenly realm. We're to pray for God to work in our enemies and restrain evil in ourselves and others and destroy arrogance in ourselves and our children and our spouses, our neighbors and our enemies. And we just need to keep doing good and not get weary of doing good. Galatians 6 says, let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. How do we fight the weariness of doing good? When you pray for others, that's one way that we can encourage each other and not get weary. Because we believe God works when we pray. You don't have to see immediate answers. We live by faith and we pray by faith. So I want to invite more of you to prayer on Sunday mornings at 9:30. I know you got to get up a little earlier. But, you know, if a father of a six-month-old child can make it to prayer like he did today, you could probably make it. You just have to want it. I think we need more prayer in 2019. And it doesn't have, okay, it doesn't have to be at 9:30 on Sunday morning, but we need more people praying. And that's a part of the way that we won't get weary. Another thing that can help us not to get weary is of doing good is we need to recognize there's seasons of planting, there's seasons of watering, and there's seasons of harvesting. You know, when we're witnessing to somebody else and they don't respond immediately, there's often a temptation or a tendency to give up. Why? Well, because we are not seeing any fruit. But the average person in Canada has to hear the gospel between 11 and 13 times before they'll respond. Don't forget that the harvest is never in the same season as the planting. We'd all like a harvest, but not everybody wants to faithfully sow seed. And it doesn't work that way on a farm. And you shouldn't expect it to work that way in the spiritual realm. You've got to plant the seed by witnessing and water it with prayer. And then there will be a harvest if we don't give up. And we're not giving up. We're pressing in and we're going to run Alpha in January. And I hope that you'll find a way to be a part of it by prayer or by inviting your friends that need Jesus. And there's one other way that I think we can sort of prevent some of the getting weary of doing good. And that's get in a home group. Don't wait until a crisis comes and then wish you had close friends to support you. Call someone up for coffee and encourage them. Take the initiative to be a spiritual thermostat and see what happens in the environment around you. Well, I need to stop to give you a chance. So this is my stop point. All right. I want to get some house lights. I wanted to encourage you with God's word, but I also want you to encourage each other. There's power in testimony. They overcame the enemy, the devil, by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So Jesus has died for us, but let's have some of the testimony of the saints. Let's reflect back on God's goodness. Come on. That's awesome.
Hello, good morning. I'm Rachel, if you don't know me. Thanks, Pastor Perry. So we had this conversation yesterday about sharing, but I'm just really grateful to be here, to just be living and breathing in 2018. I had a great year, and there's three main reasons for me, and I know everybody brags and says they have a great family, but I really have a great family.
You really do.
I do. I'm going to get emotional, but I have great parents, great extended family, both of my grandparents are both here, so I'm really appreciative. And my sister is the best friend I could ever have. So without family, I don't think I could have made it this far. Well, I'm embarrassing. I didn't mean to cry.
There's a Kleenex right down there, if you could.
Thank you. Another reason is I've struggled to connect this before with finding a small group, but this year was really impactful because I have a great small group. It's Rachel Chung, Sarah Yip, Madeline Wu, and Evangeline as well, if you know them. And we're longtime friends, but they have really helped support me this year through some difficult stuff. And it's been amazing. We've all reached milestones. We've all gone through a lot together. And the last reason I'm grateful is we are watching this video in small group, actually, about devotion time. And I kind of struggle with just setting a time and, like, reading my Bible. But there's a video I think Rick Reimer shared about how, like, if you can find any way that you're passionate, that's how you can worship God. So for me, that's really just getting outdoors. Or like going to the gym. So every Sunday I come with wet hair. It's not because I wake up late. It's because I go to spin in the morning, because that's how I really see God, just through how he can move my body in ways that I never expected. And so I was telling Pastor Perry yesterday how we went to Canmore and we were skiing. And I just had this moment of pure bliss and euphoria, just skiing through the mountains and just seeing how God has created all these wonderful things that we get to enjoy. So
nice.
That's my 2018.
Thank you for sharing, Rachel. Come on. There should be no lapses. It was just, you should be fighting to get here. Come on. This is Ephraim.
Everyone, like Pastor Perry just introduced me, my name is Ephraim. Some of you probably haven't seen me around for a while, and the main reason for that is because I went to Winnipeg for schooling, and so I'm back for the holidays. So this year I think has been definitely really challenging, and for me it was looking at that challenge and being grateful for it, I think in terms of school and just like being like having to restart my own like social groups and everything, going to a city where I didn't know anyone, and just like a lot of family things. I think it's God's call to fight. I think for me, and this is him saying, it's time for you to learn to give to the point where you can't give, and then watch me supply you so that you can keep giving. And it's like, and I was tired, but now I'm grateful that God has called me, like, this is how you can fight. This is what you bring, and this is me working through you. So for all the challenges and for all the people that I have in my life who have supported me, I can only be thankful for, God just challenging me, pushing me through, like, all of my comfort zones and calling, like, yeah, inspiring me and calling me to do more, do better, fight.
All right. Thank you for sharing, Ephraim. Thank you. Nice to have you back, even just for a week or two. Oh, here we go. Hi, sweetheart. This is my wife, Linda.
It's kind of wrestling with the Holy Spirit. I'm like, I don't want to get up there. It's embarrassing. Go up on the scooter. But I always know when he tells me to do something, I might as well just obey, right? Because that's where the joy comes. And I'm like, when Rachel, Ephraim, thank you for sharing, but Rachel, you don't know how much that encourages my heart that you got up and shared today, because I've prayed for you so often. And just to see how God's working in your life, man, that's beautiful. It is so incredible when we see answers to prayer. And sometimes we don't even know how God is working behind the scenes and how he is answering. But it is exciting. We have seen people, we were reflecting this morning in prayer, get baptized this year. and come to Christ. And more people have joined the prayer team and some young people. And that's exciting for me. And just to see how God's at work in the youth group and how the youth group is growing. Man, God's at work. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
This is something to get excited about. And when Perry was sharing about let us not grow weary of doing good, and how we cannot grow weary. One thing that God taught me, I had an amazing opportunity in 2018 with some of the ladies in this church to go to International House of Prayer, Kansas City. And just to spend some time in the prayer room there. And honestly, it was amazing. The first time I was in the prayer room, it was 3 hours, and it went by like that. And one of the things God told me, Rachel, is never be ashamed of your tears, because that shows your heart is soft to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And I don't know why, but sometimes when the Holy Spirit's moving, we cry. It's not a bad thing, folks. It's just how God made us, right? And one of the things God showed me is just that it's when we spend time in His presence, either corporately or individually, that's how we get our batteries charged. That's how we get the energy to keep going, to keep praying, to keep worshiping, to keep loving others, to keep serving, to keep witnessing, is just by spending His time in His presence. And so I would just encourage you, as you look forward to 2019, just to make that one of your resolutions, and not just a resolution that you're not going to keep. One of your goals is to just spend more time in His presence. And sometimes we think, oh, I got to just fill up this prayer time with words. You know what? Sometimes just allow yourself to rest in God's presence, because it's just, Jesus said, if you're weary, come to me and I'll give you rest. So I would just encourage you with those words, and I just thank God for what He's doing in this church.
Thank you, Linda. Lineups yet. Jeannie Chu.
Hello. Hi, guys. I also did not intend on sharing, but like Linda said, when God's like, hey, you, I feel it, and I'm like, okay, fine. So this isn't really a me story. It's so for those of you who don't know, I'm a nurse, and I've been a nurse for almost the past year. And there was this one day, I think sometimes as a nurse, I get pretty discouraged because I see a lot of people, and I see a lot of people that have a strong faith, and yet I see a lot of people who I just look at them and I know, and I hear their stories, and I feel this burden that they don't know God, and I don't know if they ever will. And in my professional setting, it's sometimes hard to share about my faith, but I just remember, sorry, I get really nervous when I talk, but I just remember I had this one patient this one day, like maybe like 6 or 8 months ago, and he was obviously, he wasn't Caucasian, he was maybe Middle Eastern or something like that. And I just remember feeling this burden for him, and I was like, oh my goodness, like, he isn't doing very well, and I don't think he knows God, and what am I going to do, and I can't do anything, and just, you know, thinking in my head and just feeling that. And at this one point, I was like, you know, we should go on a walk. So sometimes I take my patients on walks when I have a bit more time, just because they need that extra help. And so we were on a walk in the garden. We have a little nice healing garden by my unit. And he sat down at one point. He was getting really tired. And I just remember, I don't know if it was me who started the conversation or him, but he was, at one point he was like, do you believe in God? And I was like, oh, yeah, I do. I'm a Christian. And he's like, oh, I'm a Christian too. And I was like, huh? And I just remember feeling so thrown off by, like, you know, here I was thinking, like, how am I going to evangelize this guy? And he's like, no, like, I love God. He's, like, telling me all these Bible verses, and we just spent time sharing these verses that we loved. And he was saying how him and his wife were from Egypt originally, and they were part of a small church and, like, sort of a growing movement. And they would teach Sunday school classes, and they were just a big part of the community. And I think that was just God's way of telling me, like, hey, Jeannie, like, it's okay. I'm working in the world. It's not just your burden to go and tell whoever about your faith. Like, you should do that, of course, but I'm bigger than you think I am. Like, I am working. And that was at one of the points when I was feeling so discouraged. Like, there's so many people around me that aren't Christian and, like, are probably going to die that way. And then here's God being like, no, I'm working. I'm working in bigger ways than you can imagine. So nice. I just hope that can encourage some of you out there that, you know, God is good and he's out there working.
There you go. Okay. God is gooder than we think. You guys got another song? Because people aren't jumping. So we're going to close our service. But go ahead. You guys go get, this is my, you know, because there's always somebody, no, wait. What do you want to spend 2018 thinking, oh, I should have said something? No. No regrets, right? Live life, no regrets. Give God the glory. You know, you don't even have to do it all, you know, in front of a congregation. I'm just trying to give an opportunity. Sometimes the testimonies that we give can just happen right out in the foyer, and we just want to encourage spiritual conversation. Just talk about the things that are good. Talk about it with your family. Sometimes, you know, with the ones that are close to us, we kind of, I don't know, feel a little bit, maybe a little personal or something, but just talk about, you know, the good things that God has done. Encourage each other with this, and encourage us with this song as we close off. Thank you. God, you are good to us. And we just want to say thank you. We honor you because you are a good and loving God. You know what we need before we even say a word, before it's on our lips. But you still want us to come to you. You still want us to pray and seek your face. And I pray, God, that we might continue to more and more press in and seek your face, and this year experience more and more of your goodness, of who you are. So we thank you for how you've shown us your goodness in Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would fill us up to fullness with the Holy Spirit, that we might extend the goodness of Jesus Christ to others, in our family, in our neighborhood, in our workplace, in our world. Lord Jesus, we just honor you and praise you, and we ask for the empowerment to do good even as you have been good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, would you make sure that you greet those around you and give them the best 2018 goodbye and hello to 2019 that you can, and see you next week. Next week we have a baptism. We have a baptism next week. You don't want to miss it.